This is The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. Why do people vote the way they do? How do they get that information that leads to the opinion that they have that they decide to belong to one party or another? Well, they get a lot of that information from TV, and campaigns are spending more and more on television ads and shaping a message and pushing an agenda through television. A recent Supreme Court decisions will only add fuel to that fire, and up until now, we really haven't been able to track those TV ads very well, but an experimental project by the Internet Archive is launching with an ambition to do just that. What do you think about political campaign advertising? Is it effective? Do you pay attention to it? Should it be monitored, maybe even reined in? Give us a call. We want to hear from you. The number is 210-614-8980, 614-8980, and you can email us at thesource@tpr.org or comment directly on our show page on our website at tpr.org. Our guest this half hour, Roger McDonald. He is in charge of the new television archive at the Internet Archive. And Kathy Keeley, she is the managing editor of the Sunlight Foundation. Welcome to The Source, both of y'all.
Thank you.
Roger, tell me about this project, the scope of this project of the television archive.
Certainly. Well, the Internet Archive is a nonprofit digital library. And we, in collaboration with the Sunlight Foundation and other civic organizations and scholars and journalists, are working to create an open digital library of most of the Philadelphia region's media, and within that to record, preserve, and open up for research, television advertising, the political ads in television, as well as join those political ads with information from each station on who paid how much for which ad.
And you're just looking at the ads? You're not looking at the content of newscast?
Oh, no, absolutely the content of newscast as well. So you'd be able to look at ads, see the content of the news ads and the context that those ads were presented, as well as the longer-term benefit of adding Philadelphia to the rest of our television news research library is the ability to look back at news, find information, compare, contrast, and share insights.
Well, a lot of people now get information from the Internet. How is that represented?
In this attempt to create a digital library of the media ecosystem of the Philadelphia region, a region with about 60-mile radius around the city of Philadelphia, we are also sending what we call web crawlers and what search engines in the Internet Archive do, little software agents that go to open web pages and take snapshots, record them, and in our case, pouring them into a research library, a full-text searchable library, of the Internet presences of local politicians, government, media, community organizations, and the like, so that journalists, scholars, and civic organizations can pursue the variety of research to understand how local issues are reflected throughout media and what is some influence of political spending on news coverage, the presence or absence of important community issues, and help inform the local citizenry.
So, Kathy Keeley over at the Sunlight Foundation, you're part of this project. What do you bring to the table?
Well, we have been watching at the Sunlight Foundation. We have been advocating for online filing of the contract behind the ads that Roger is recording, and we were successful. We banded together with some other organizations to convince the Federal Communications Commission to start putting this paperwork online. I think, and I'll explain why that's important in a moment, but I think the what a lot of people don't realize is that a lot of citizens don't realize that for decades they have had the right to go and ask for the political, the contracts for political advertisements and find out how much they cost and who's paying for them. But it required going physically to a TV station and pulling out a file drawer. And, of course, you have to do that between 9 and 5 on business days. And, of course, most voters don't have the ability to do that. So we have felt that since the technology exists to make this information accessible to people in the comfort of their home at whatever hour they choose to view it, it ought to be used. We were successful at doing that, and one reason we think that's important is that increasingly you see major political actors, committees that are spending six and seven-figure checks, you know, really very influential, who are operating outside the apparatus that was created after Watergate to eliminate corruption and make political spending accountable. And they're doing that by, instead of incorporating as a political action committee, they incorporate as a nonprofit, and they take advantage of some legal loopholes. So they never really have to say who they are. You know, they always have these kind of Orwellian names like Texans for a Better Texas or San Antonians for a Better Chile or something like that, and you really don't know who they are. And these records, these contracts, enable us to connect the people who are the message, which is what Rogers Group is going to enable us to see, to the people behind the message, to the money behind that message. And we think that's really important information for voters to have before they go to the polls. I mean, if an organization is telling you to vote for or against a politician, you ought to know who they are and what their agenda is. So that's the idea of the project. We think it's very important. We think it's a great way to make sure voters cast informed decisions. And we think working with the archive on this pilot project in Philadelphia, we hope will lay the groundwork for a future collaboration so that we can expand this work to more markets and make this information available everywhere.
So, but this isn't something that can be trolled for information immediately as the campaign is underway. It's something that you're thinking is something we can look back on.
No, that's the beauty of this. This happens in real time. So I am looking at a website right now that has been updated within the last half hour, and as these contracts come in, they are available for us to look at. And, of course, the archiving that Roger is doing is happening in real time. So for intrepid researchers and reporters and journalists, or citizen journalists, or just plain citizens, it will be possible to make those connections in real time.
Okay,
and we think that is very important.
All right, we're going to continue this conversation, trying to crack the code about how do these political ads get on TV, who is paying for them, how the message is shaped, whether or not that message takes hold of the public consciousness and will have an impact on the election. It's all there. We just need someone to start connecting the dots. That's what the Television Archive is working on. If you got a question or a comment, we want to hear from you. The number is 210-614-8980, 614-8980. Taking a quick break. We'll be back in 1 minute. You're listening to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. Most Americans, about 55%, get their news from television. That's more than double the number of the people who look at the web first, and more than five times the number of people who turn to print for their information. And television steers a great degree our political discourse. So it's now we're finding out that there's a new project happening in Philadelphia. Roger McDonald is leading a television archive to keep track of what television political ads are airing and what's happening with the television news. Kathy Keeley joins us. She is a managing editor of the Sunlight Foundation. She's also a part of this project. We invite you to join the conversation. The number is 210-614-8980. Let's get Jesse on the line. Jesse, thanks for calling. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, thank you very much for taking my call. I wish that the media would listen to the people more on what we want. This is your country, but it's my country too. And a lot of people are getting tired of not being able, no matter what you do, no matter how technical that they make voting, nobody can believe what's being told on TV because there's a lot of misrepresentation, a lot of misleading. You know what we want? We want somebody, a commentator, whoever's going to do a town hall campaign, or, you know, when they want to go up there and talk against each other. We want somebody to get all the facts, ask the questions before they get on stage. Get the answers, okay, and make sure that they're factual answers, that they're nothing that's misleading that's got to be talked about later. They have to give the actual facts before they come on TV. That way we can hear them, we can see what they're saying, and they can do this probably about two or three times on national TV before it's time to vote.
Okay, well, Jesse, when it comes to political ads, how much stock do you put in what you're seeing on TV?
Not one copper. You know, to us as voters, we see them just as misleading as anything else.
Okay.
You know, the old holding the baby and giving the baby a kiss and a lollipop and coming out with your hair comb don't mean diddly to us.
All right, Jesse, thanks for calling in. I appreciate your input, and have a great day. So, Kathy Kiley, a managing editor of the Sunlight Foundation, a lot of anger there.
Yes, and I think one of the things that we're trying to do is make people understand that you do not have to take it. You know, I think I've been a political reporter for a long time, and so I've heard a lot of this when I'm out covering campaigns. And it's distressing, especially we're on the eve of our nation's birthday, and I think we are lucky to live in a democracy where people can vote, but it's in danger if people feel so alienated that they feel like there's nothing they can do, that they don't count, that only people who write six- and seven-figure checks count. And that's really not true. And one of the things we're trying to do with our Philadelphia project is to show people that there is something they can do. And we have very specific tasks we're asking volunteers to do. You don't have to live in Philadelphia to be a part of this project. We're asking people to crack open files and help us create a database. And I think one of the great things about that is that there are stories that I see there and interesting things I see that strike me because I've worked as a political reporter for a long time in Washington, D.C., but I think there are things that are going to strike people who have lived in Philadelphia for a long time in a different way. And so I think they're going to see stories and make connections that I can't. And I think one of the great things about this project is that we're really democratizing the research and democratizing very sophisticated data tools so that people can not only use them, but can feel like they're building something. And that, I think that's very empowering for people at a time when sometimes it really does feel like big money is overwhelming the system.
Back to the phone lines, and our number is 210-614-8980. Ray has called in. Ray, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi, thank you. First, kudos to Philadelphia. I'm a Philadelphian, but I just happen to live in San Antonio right now. I agree with the first caller. I put very little stock in the media. In the television ads that I see. Everybody wants to spin them the way that they want. I am happy to know. What I didn't know is I could go to my local TV station and look at that contract and find out who paid for that particular ad. Even though they might say it sometimes on the bottom of the disclaimer, you know, who's sponsoring it, but I think it'd be good to go and see exactly what the terms and conditions are for that particular ad. So thanks for that. And also, I'd love to volunteer to try to crack open some of these files and create that database. How do I do that?
Okay, Ray, thank you for that. And so, Roger, how do people volunteer?
Allow me to let Kathy address that.
Okay.
Yes, just contact us at Sunlight Foundation, at the Sunlight Foundation. We have on our website an email address. You can contact us and just say you'd like to become a political ad sleuth, and we will get back to you, and we will train you, and we would love to have the help.
So, Roger McDonald, you're heading up this project. It seemed like a big project, and you must have a lot of resources behind you and experience. Is this something that only a big outfit like the Internet Archive could tackle, or is this something that any community could try to get a hold of?
Mm. Well, it's only something that a collaboration can handle. We're doing the library part of it, the digital library part of it. We're collecting the information. Fighting off a cold. We're collecting the information and trying to make it available to scholars and journalists and civic organizations where they also add to the information. So really, it's a collaboration. And to address the question of can this be done and should this be done in other communities, yes. But we are looking to solve a bunch of problems this year in the Philadelphia region, problems of how you can take this to scale so that in the next couple of years it could be applied to the San Antonio region and others across the country.
And would it be done by political activists or academics? Who would tackle that?
I think it needs to be done by lots of collaborating organizations, from activists working together, nonpartisan. You can be partisan, but a nice mixture of partisanship. It all works to just open up information. I want to address something that Jesse said and Ray underscored, and that is having little faith in the media itself as well as the message, the political messaging the media conveys. And one of the things that we're looking to address and try to model how this could be applied across the country is we're looking to record and preserve and provide tools for people to reflect back on exactly what the media is feeding them in the advertising and in the news stories themselves and make it quantifiable. Because many, I have heard the same frustration that news seems to be, doesn't listen to the community, seems to misrepresent key things. And the facts themselves are seemingly too loose. But there's never been a way to preserve that media, to reflect back on and quote it, and hold people accountable. So this is a great library tool that people can address those frustrations by demonstrating quantifiable means to make their points.
In doing my reporting, sometimes I go out and do the campaign polling sites and will ask people, why did you vote the way you voted or whatever? And frequently, and I'm astonished by this, that people will give me the exact phrasing that I would have heard in a television ad, just like right back at me. Apparently, I mean, this stuff does work. It does motivate people to vote one way or another. But it seems like this is a valuable thing to try to track, measure, trend. Where are the trends? Kathy, Kylie?
Yes, I think people say, and we all do, we say that we're not affected by TV ads or any kind of advertisement. But in fact, I think I've observed the same thing that you have, and I think it's the drip, drip, drip. You can't help but absorb some of this, and you can certainly see it's repetition. I mean, one of the things that we're seeing in some of the markets where there are really hot races coming up this fall is the advertising started in 2013, and it has been going on incessantly since then. I mean, one of the revealing things about looking at these ad buys is you really get a sense, and I mean this in both senses of the words, of the nation's gross political product. And believe me, it is recession-proof. People are just spending, spending, spending on these ads. And, you know, we know from our experience of following money in politics that people who do that are not just doing it because they're particularly enthusiastic participants in democracy. They're making political investments. And what's really insidious is that, as I said, many of these are doing so virtually anonymously. There are committees. Your earlier caller was correct that there is usually a disclaimer on these ads, but the disclaimer is meaningless in many cases. You know, it's what I would call a mystery meat committee. Americans for a Better America, Texans for Better Apple Pie, whatever. And it doesn't tell people who's really behind the ad and what their agenda is. And that's the whole point of this project, to find out the names of the individuals behind these committees, which are in the paperwork at the TV stations, and then to take those names, that's all a good political journalist or really a good citizen activist needs, to start to trace that back to the source and figure out who is this person or a group of individuals,
right, and what,
for,
and what
who are,
their, are
they attached to,
and what are their interests?
What's the agenda? Yeah, I mean, is it your local PTA or is it your local toxic waste dump? I mean, this makes a difference for people when they're trying to evaluate a message before they go in to vote.
So Roger McDonald, in this project, you're looking at not just English broadcasters but different language broadcasters in the area?
That's right. So we're looking at non-English broadcasters, including Spanish-language television. And
which is growing in importance.
It certainly is. Absolutely. And one of the things that you were mentioning about hearing people seemingly parroting back key phrases of political advertising is that we as television viewers, the most pervasive and persuasive medium of our time, have little media literacy in terms of understanding what are the tools and techniques that are utilized so that we're aware a bit and can make making choices outside of the attempts to persuade us. And there are a couple other groups that are collaborating with us that I want to highlight.
Sure, go ahead.
And one of them is the Wesleyan Media Project. It's a long-term collaboration with a number of scholars at several universities that has been looking at political advertising and analyzing its messaging and effectiveness. And they are some of the best in the field, and those of your listeners who are interested in taking a look at it, it's worth looking at them. They have been belabored, though, by a lack of access to
And who is the other group, Roger? We're running out of time.
The other group is led by Kathleen Hall Jamison.
Okay.
At the Annenberg School for Communication in Philadelphia.
Roger McDonald, Television Archive at the Internet Archive. Kathy Kiley, Managing Editor at the Sunlight Foundation. This is The Source on KSTX, back after the NPR News.